and everyone wants to go home. That's me. It's my company. And tonight we're talking about smart control. Am I being recorded?
Yes.
All right. So not only are these slides under Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 2.5 Canada, but my performance is. And I hope you guys would license your recording the same. So there's three layers of copyright. If anyone else is making a recording, hope you do the same. Mm. All right. So that's the acronym for SMART. And that will not be on the exam. And lots of information on Wikipedia about the craziness of SMART, because it's almost a pseudo-standard. There's things that are kind of standardized, there are things that are not kind of standardized, and it's a bit wild, but it is a facility available in a lot of disks, and it varies what aspects of it are available, but it does let you monitor, analyze, and report, as the acronym says. It is not a substitute for backups, okay? Big red warning here. Just because you can find out if there's a chance your disk is dying doesn't mean it won't. And of course, there's 1,000 other ways you could lose your data. So please, folks. The package that provides smart control is called SmartMon Tools. I checked on at least one Red Hat-based distro where the package name is SmartMon Tools. And I've checked on Ubuntu, and it's probably the same on other Debian-based distros. The package is called SmartMon Tools. So it's pretty easy to install. I know that I don't think Ubuntu 8.04, which I work a lot with, ships it out of the box. So it is something you have to install extra. You want to build it from source. It's there on SourceForge. I think it actually runs on Windows, too. And tonight I'm just talking about smart control, not smart D. The difference is smart control is for spot checking your drive when you want to do things manually. And really, if you're in a really kind of professional situation, you may want to set up SmartD so that you have a daemon automatically doing spot checks and scheduling tests and things like that for you. And SmartD can send you emails, or it can put stuff to your logs, and maybe it has some other outputs too. Tonight we're just talking about smart control. If you want to learn about SmartD, you can read the fine manual. All right, so if you want to know everything about your drive, Dash A is your friend. It will give you all the stuff that smart control is capable of reading. And the syntax is pretty straightforward. Anytime you want to do something with smart control, it's pretty much dash whatever and device node to your drive. For some drives, you may need to specify the drive type. So that's what dash D is for. So we'll break down some of the things you can get with dash A. Because it's an overwhelming amount of info. Usually you just want a small amount at a time. So dash I gives you info about your device. The most handy thing here is getting the serial number. Because if you're worried about a drive and you're wondering, is it under warranty still, and you need to enter the serial number on the manufacturer website, this is a great place to look it up. So that's the really slow drive that was involved in that reboot there. And I don't think the RPMs are listed there, but
it's probably 4200.
I don't think it's 4200.
Oh, no, it is.
All right. And you can see it's 30 gigs, and it's ancient. You can get the an overall health status report from your drive. And this is totally kind of up to the drive firmware. But there is an interpretation of what this is supposed to mean in a standard way. This is from the smart control manual. And because it's cut off, I'm going to have to read it for you, which is the last thing I'd want to do, but I owe it to you to tell you what it says. So the manual says, if the device reports failing health status, this means either that the device has already failed or that it is predicting its own failure within the next 24 hours. If this happens, use the dash A option to get more information and get your data off the disk into someplace safe as soon as you can. And this is the big one. And it really only really looked this way for ATA disks, PETA and SATA. A lot of them will have a large number of attributes that you can see. And they're formatted in this table format. And I made the font size clear so you could actually see all the columns. Otherwise, it would span over. I find in an 80 character terminal wide terminal, you won't get it all like that. You will get your rows getting cut off into multiple lines. So it is nice to actually see it fully columned for once. I'm going to go through each of these columns. These are the attribute names. On the Wikipedia article, there's descriptions about what each of them apparently mean. Anyway, because it is totally up to the drive manufacturer. Every attribute has an ID number. These are assigned on a per drive manufacturer basis. I don't think they're too standardized. Smart Control actually comes with a built-in database of hard drives. Flag I don't know about. Value, worst, and threshold are the really interesting ones. It gives you a rating of your attribute on a scale 0 to 255. So that's what the value is. Tells you where you are on that scale right now. Oh, and the way to interpret it is 255 is the best value you can have for your attribute. 0 is the worst. So when you're scanning down, you want to look for, you're looking for low values. And I think this is the same drive here. We can see that it's aging. It's got everything's below 200 that I've listed there. So it's well on its way. Threshold is a point where the drive manufacturer is probably telling you to be concerned. So when you're scanning through this, if you're using your eyes and you're doing a spot check, you're mostly going to be kind of looking. Value compared to threshold. Value compared to threshold. And the one that stands out most here is, well, we've got 160. It's getting closer. And yeah, that's probably the worst one here. Oh, and 68 compared to 0. These normalized values are completely calculated by the drive. And they have some formula where they take the actual value and they translate it onto this 0 to 255 scale. But, you can look at those gaps. And there's two types of attributes. There's ones that are intended to be an indication that your drive is about to fail when you hit the threshold. And there's other ones that just indicate old age. So a good example of old age is... start stop count. That one's getting pretty close to 0, but it doesn't... even when I hit 0, it doesn't mean the drive is necessarily finished really soon. It is just an indicator of how old it is. The other thing you want to look at when you're scanning is when it failed column. If you see all dashes, and this is only on ATA drives, a dash means it's never gone below the threshold. And if you see something else there, then you're going to want to pay more attention. But if you just get scan down and just see all dashes, then you may not be as worried. The worst column is that one in the middle. It's the worst ever recorded. And sometimes you'll find that that's actually higher than the current value. A lower value is always worse, right? So things aren't always getting recorded. And one thing relevant to that is the updated column. When are the actual values sort of updated? So there's ones that are updated always, and there's ones that are updated during what are called offline tests. Scary sounding word, because am I drive out of use? No. And then you get the actual raw values. On the Wikipedia article, they have a little bit more about them, because for some attributes you want a high raw value is desirable, and on some a low is desirable. So the Wikipedia article has little arrows to show you. But the normalized value is kind of your guide. And some of these are kind of nonsensical, and some of them, like temperature, actually are something sensible, like the actual temperature. So, make of those what you will. And this one's really interesting. This is from a data drive I recently pulled. I made it a lot bigger so it would be more visible. So it's on multiple lines here. So this is the value column, 100. This is the worst ever recorded, 100. The threshold value is 97. I saw that and felt a bit alarmed. But I've noticed that the raw value is 0. So maybe this is how the drive shipped, and they just made it so, it's always at 100 until something bad happens, and then it's immediately below 97. who knows what the drive manufacturer had in mind here, and who knows if this drive is in danger or not. But I'm not as worried now that I see that zero there. I may put some personal media files on it, though I'm glad to have pulled this from business use. And I just have the text from Wikipedia here about what this attribute even means. Just read the first sentence. Count of it, retry of spin start attempts. Yeah, there's stuff cut off. You guys can read this online. Let's get moving. So here's an example of attributes from a SCSI drive, a serial attached SCSI drive. And, you know, and see, there's a lot less here, and maybe the drive manufacturers are, well, SCSI and ATA drives are different anyways. So you get a completely different format here. You get a lot less information. Maybe that's good, because maybe the intro is just going to lead you astray. This is cool, though. You can schedule tests, and they're called offline tests. But don't let that scare you. I'm actually going to run one just so people know that it doesn't actually take the whole drive offline and run the test. What it does is, it'll run the test, and as soon as you're trying to actually use the drive, it'll just pause the test, let you access the drive, and then resume the test. And it really doesn't affect performance too much, as far as I know. But if you're paranoid, if you're going to schedule this kind of thing, schedule it at a low use time. So I will actually run a short test. So you guys, if anyone's feeling worried, you'll see that it is pretty safe. Okay, so it'll be done in 2 minutes. Let me keep blah blah blahing. You can also schedule a longer test. The output I got from my drive here was that it takes 30 minutes, and it can be a lot longer. I had one the other day that was 80. And whatever these tests do, sort of, it's probably up to the drive manufacturer. Who knows how standardized it is? Probably not much at all. So you scheduled that test. While it's running, you may or may not even be able to monitor it. Sometimes, this is the command for looking at test results, and sometimes it'll show the progress of a test in progress. Sometimes it won't show it at all. Don't worry, just give it time. And I do find, because these tests are sort of trying to be non-invasive, they're letting you use the disk, but then they run the test when you're not using it. If you are using it a lot, the test can take a lot longer than the promised time. So take that time as an estimate if you're pretty idle. This is an interesting history of tests on a drive we have. One of the nice things actually about I used to find it hard to figure out, okay, which test is earlier in time. Then I realized they have an hours column, like lifetime of the drive running, and so that's how you can figure out if you don't have it memorized, which tests are old and which ones are newer. So at 3, 4, 4, 4, 5 hours, there's a long test that went badly, and then you see in the future after that, I had a short test and then a long test that went really well. And I've actually got a show and tell on this that I'm going to pass around. This was not the hard drive that was in that test. This hard drive was next to it, and probably using the same SATA chip on the board. And after the drive that's up there, after I had these kind of problems with the first test and it getting bumped out of a software right away, I opened things up and I saw something I'd seen before that I was kind of suspicious of, because the smart attributes were great on both drives. And why am I having these troubles? And I even did a write over on the drive that got knocked out, and that didn't work, and yet the count of an unallocated sectors was zero. So I was wondering what was going on, and it's something I'd seen before. One reason you can have drive problems is your cabling. There was one system I was dealing with that had these drawers you could pull out to get your drive, and the physical interface on the drawer must have been screwed, because I had all these problems when I was testing the drives in there. I had no problems testing the drives elsewhere, and all the problems went away when I stopped using the drawers. So I was suspicious when this happened. And this is what I found in our case. I'm going to start passing this around. This is a SATA drive, and I discovered that there's two parts to the data connector. There's the pins, and then there's a plastic L shape. And what happened is the plastic L shape has snapped off. And it's jammed into the cable, and the cable was really loose. I went looking for like loose cables right away, and boom, there it was. And so it turns out, my theory is that that drive was the one causing the problems, probably screwing, and it actually caused problems for this one without having its own errors, because this one's doing fine now. It passed a long test. Its attributes are still great, and so. You know, it's a thing where SMART can't help you with that. Though it helped me be suspicious that, hey, there's something other than like classic drive failure going on here. There's possibly an interface problem. And, you get a log of errors. It's pretty common to find that, you know, a drive has had logged errors in its history, and it doesn't mean it's toast. You get output like this. You actually get the hex codes. You get hex of like what was actually in the AVA commands. Good luck interpreting that. So, if you want to learn more, read the manual. Good night.